Put on your caveman blue because it's time for the Caveman Corner, where we talk football with the young men and their coaches who carry their colors onto the gridiron every Friday night. It's all brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza. Now let's head to the Beacon Drive Abby's with Chuck Benson.
Ah, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I hope the rain hasn't dampened any of your spirits. It hasn't ours here, because we're looking back on a very, very successful football season for the Grants Pass Cavemen from the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza, where they're just now delivering that triple topper pizza. Oh, golly, and some spuds. Look at that. Oh, golly. Thank you very much, dear. Now, hey, listen, if you want to take part in this pizza, come on down. It's $26.99, and that's for the big one, and that'll feed a lot of football players, no question about it. What it's got on it is pepperoni, premium Canadian bacon, and ground beef, and it's wall-to-wall. And get some spuds to go with it. That's what we've got sitting here in front of us. Also sitting here in front of us is head coach Brad Page. Coach, congratulations on a successful football season. How's it feel right now?
Mixed
blessings?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a congratulations. I mean, I appreciate that. I'm not saying it feels like we shouldn't be here yet. You know, I was hoping we would go a little further than we did. And, we have a lot to be grateful for and proud of, but still a little bittersweet right now. So it's just processing. Losing such a close game and one that we felt like we should have won, it's just a little hard right now.
Well, at the same time, still with a winning record, with lots of camaraderie there, it appears to me. And I've seen one or two caveman football teams since we've been doing this. And it looks to me like you elevated the focus, the camaraderie, situation around it, the team chemistry seems to be higher than I've seen it in many, many years.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, a big compliment. And again, it's a credit to our players. I think that they really bought in. I mean, we kind of did our equipment turn in yesterday and We as coaches clean out our lockers too and stuff. And so it's kind of a cathartic moment. I was looking at some, I had, team pictures from the past few years, and we have, I had these, they do like a funny picture of the varsity and the JV, and we had those hung up on the wall all year. And I just look at that, and even just our regular one, I'm like, that's a really happy group. And there is something different about it as far as just their overall morale. And not to take anything away from past teams or groups or anything like that, because they all did, a great job and their part and everything. But it was just something special with this crew. And I think that we just had a lot of time to bond. And you go through after, a losing season last year, and, there's no soft shoulder to cry on. It's just you. If you're going to commit to being part of the program, you're living with that feeling and that taste in the off season, and they did that. So.
Right, no question about it. With that higher, elevated culture that you installed, or at least that the players installed, or at least grabbed onto and cultivated, the situation being from last year with just one win last year,
two wins, but yeah,
two wins last year. To what has happened this year, with some exciting games, start to finish, up and down the schedule.
Yeah.
Come away with six great victories. You look back on that. Is there one of those victories that really stands out to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. You could play, I'd have to go back and look at the schedule again. But I think, a huge one at the time, even though they didn't have as great of a year on paper, they're still really tough, with South Salem. I think once we beat them and, kind of got in that shootout, that was pretty big for us. But I think for the community and for the boys, beating South Medford in South Medford was pretty awesome, pretty special. And that was kind of a turning point where we thought, wow, this is pretty awesome.
After that I was pointing to the South Medford game. I felt after that one we could play with anybody in the state, and we proved that. Yeah. South Medford's still playing football.
I know, right? That's what makes me sick.
That's the bittersweet part of it,
right,
isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I looked at the bracket on Monday, and I'm like, good gosh, I can't handle it. There's teams that we beat, teams that we can play with, and we should be there still.
At any rate, once again, congratulations going out. Now, part of the culture that we talked about for the Grants Pass Cavemen has to revolve around your seniors. You want to talk about your seniors?
Yeah. It was kind of crazy. Like, you don't really know who's going to come out year to year who's going to stick with it. And when we met with the seniors back in, I don't know if it was January or February, and we had like 20 plus show up, and we're like, my gosh, we haven't had more than 10, 11, 12, 13 at most, like on previous years. And so it was a big crew, and then they stuck it out. I think we had 23 on senior night, which is pretty awesome. And so, yeah, it was cool. Like, I think, you know, we had guys that have been with the program, returning captain like Connor Johnston, who's been a two-way starter for 3 years. And I coached him and Wyatt Peterson in our position group, who were, you know, starters on both sides of the ball. And then Braden O'Brien, who's another one who was, had gotten injured but came back. And those guys, you start, you know, you when you coach their position group, you know, you have a particularly special bond. And I just remember thinking in the summer, like, man, I'm going to miss these guys. They're just not just good football players, but just really good people and just in good attitudes and just work hard, great relationship with them. And so it's hard. You know, we're going to miss these guys for sure. I think, I mean, I can go down the whole list. There's a lot of them. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, Isaac Johnson made some great, great plays this year. And Tim Hart, and just to name a few, I thought our line was, you know, really good with Ashton King and Alex Lingo and Braden Carlson, Leo Hucker. You know, we're going to lose four starters there on the line, offensive line. And so there's more, you know, that I could go on and on about. It was cool seeing Zach.
We have time.
Yeah.
and this program's really about the youngsters and the program. Right. So, you know, if you want to name any of them, we'll do that.
Yeah, well, Zach DeShane didn't play last year. He played basketball, and he's a good basketball player. Then he came out, and he's such a spark for us this year. And really good defensive back. We could sub and plug him in at receiver, and he was so effective. So, yeah, we just had a lot of different guys that did a lot of good things. Jace McGowan, great leadership, just good attitude. Braden Reese was great on the defensive side. Funny how, you know, a couple years ago he's playing quarterback for our JV and in the mix, and he became a really good nickel for us. But yeah, I mean, Parker Roberts is a great punter, kicker. So there's a lot of holes we're going to have. I'm sure I'm missing some more guys, but that's part of what I mean. You lose 23 guys off your roster, you look at, man, how are we going to develop and replace? And, you know, it's funny looking at some of those names I just mentioned. I thought, man, I had a big question mark about them last year, just either due to injury or, you know, just they hadn't kind of gotten to where they needed to be yet. And some of those guys have just become some of our best players. And I think Leo Hucker and Ashton King, those were ones, you know, they're either banged up or, you know, they played a lot of JV time, and they came in and became two of our, you know, most effective linemen. Alex Lingo became so consistent, battling an injury all year, and just became really consistent for us. And then there's other guys like Connor Johnston, Tim Hart, who've been in varsity minutes since they were sophomores, and, you know, you knew what you're going to get out of them, consistency. And so it's just a really cool senior class. And it's hard because when I came in, they were sophomores, and then I got to kind of see them grow up a little bit. And now, looking back, it's you know, you kind of can't help but feel a little sad.
Well, there's no question about that. You're losing some talent, but quite frankly, doesn't the future look bright ahead for Grants Pass Caveman football?
It does. It really does. I mean, we have a really solid athletic junior class that's going to be our seniors next year. I don't know where the numbers stand with them. I don't think they'll be as big of a class as this last year, but, you know, they have a lot of solid guys. I mean, you think of just returning starters. You got Kingston Connolly, Nate Bassett, Westenberg. Jet Stewart's going to be really effective. And there's more. I can't – I'm trying to, you know, name off this whole 65-man roster, but – yeah, and then our sophomore class has been so effective.
I've got the full roster here if you want to look at
it. That might help. no, but, yeah, I mean, the juniors are – I'm excited to just build, you know, stronger relationships with those guys. Ty Dungy's another one who's played a significant role as a linebacker. And oh, there we go. And then, yeah, you know, there's – you know, we have some all-conference guys – in here, but yeah, our sophomore class is another one that's, I mean, you look at five or six or seven guys starting, some starting both ways for us as sophomores. And then yeah, definitely when you look at the list, you start to see our junior class is a little bit smaller, but I'm excited about those guys. And then our sophomore class and then our freshman team had another great year. We have some really tremendous athletes and some that I think will make an immediate impact. I mean, we saw that where Jordan Rosetta, Trayden Powers, Parker Howe, Elijah Hernandez, Brevik Hill, just to name a few, who made an immediate impact week one as sophomores. And I think we're going to have some more guys like that coming up that are going to be sophomores this next year.
All right. You mentioned your all-conference players. I pulled out the list here, and let me see. First-team offense, quarterback, as a sophomore, Jordan Rosetta, Connor Johnstone, tight end, both offense and defense.
Yeah.
Isaac Johnson, receiver, first team.
Yeah.
Second-team offense, Alex Lingo, a center. Leo Hucker at guard, Brevik Hill, a receiver, and Trayden Powers at running back. Honorable mention offense, Ashton King at tackle, and Tim Hart as receiver. First-team defense, again, I think we mentioned Connor Johnston on both sides of the football.
Yeah.
Nate Bassett is a defensive back, and honorable mentions going to Tim Hart and Braden Carlson, their defensive lineman, Braden Reese at linebacker, Kingston Connolly and Zach Deshane as defensive backs, and Parker Roberts, your punter.
Yep.
That's a pretty good list on the all-conference team that everybody gets to vote on.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. And, you know, those, you know, first-teamers, those guys got a ton of votes. And some of those second-teamers were right up there about to get first-team. And then those honorable mention, you know, most of those guys got significant votes as well. And so it was cool to see. You know, and a lot of that depends on how successful your team is, but it shows the level of respect that the other coaches in the conference have for Grants Pass football.
All right, Coach, this is you're just completing your third year as head coach at the,
right.
And you talked about earlier the progress that you saw these young men make right up into their senior year. Is that always a situation here? Is it from sophomore to junior? Is it junior to senior where all of that development occurs, or that elevation of really what's going on? When does that happen?
You know, that's a good question. I think being a JV player is really hard because you go from being a freshman, and the way we're set up, we have a freshman team where they're their own entity. They have their own coaching staff, and our freshman staff has done an outstanding job developing, focusing on fundamentals, getting the guys playing time with huge groups. And so when they come in from their freshman class really, you know, in a good spot, but, you know, a lot of what they learn is, okay, like, we're going to a little bit more advanced football. The scheme's a little different, you know, and we're going to have more plays in and more install and stuff like that. And it's, oh, okay, I'm not in middle school anymore. I have to do off-season workouts. I need to start lifting more and conditioning and all that stuff. And so I think that's part of a hard transition for a freshman to a sophomore. I think sophomores, sometimes that's one of the harder years for guys, unless they're just really ready, which we had a few guys like that were just really ready and committed. I was really impressed with Trayden Powers in the off-season because he was banged up pretty bad last year. He played a lot of freshman ball. We pulled him up to play some JV ball. He got hurt. It was not a good situation, and I regret some of that. But he was so motivated. He would just jump in the first group, and he never missed. He never missed an off-season workout that I remember. And so that's, like, the difference is, like, that level of commitment. And by the time, I mean, he's a tremendous athlete to begin with, but by the time the season rolled around, it's like there's no question he's the best guy we have. Westenberg is a really good running back, too, and the guys that back him up. But Trayden really earned that. And so I think that's where these guys can learn. And it's hard. It's hard to know that. And so you have to kind of, you know, put yourself out there. But so some guys, they have that transition. And then a lot of them, the majority of the sophomores, you know, they play JV and they develop. And JV's tough because you're doing a ton of scout team. You're going against varsity all the time. And you're really kind of helping the varsity get better. And so a lot of that transition goes from sophomores to juniors, and so we see a lot of that. But I also saw some guys go from their junior to senior year where they, you know, so it just depends on the individual, I think, on when they develop and when they hit it and when they choose to do it and their level of athleticism.
Can you see that same kind of commitment coming up that Powers has shown you? Is that recognizable in one of those young individuals, or is it rare?
I think so. I think that this is a football group. You know, that sophomore class is a football group, and they're good at other sports too and other activities, but they are very committed to football. And I see that with this, you know, current freshman class too. And so I think once we get into some off-season lifting and workouts in January and February, we'll kind of see who's committed. But we also want guys to be doing other stuff. We don't just, you know, go play basketball, wrestle, play baseball, do track, or go be in whatever. We have guys that do choir and orchestra and all that other stuff. All that stuff is good. And we've had several band players. And so that stuff's all good. Makes you a more well-rounded person. Obviously, they're academics. But yeah, I see some guys that are really promising. I mean, talking with our head freshman coach, because we throw around the idea of, do we bring any freshmen up for the playoffs? And, you know, and we decided not to, just because we had enough depth and we didn't want to mess with some guys that were already banged up and have them get hurt. And so, but, you know, he's like, I mean, there's 10, 15, 20 guys you could pull up that are worthy of it, you know? And so there's just a ton of depth at our freshman group. And so I see some guys that'll be making contributions right away.
All right. We mentioned the future looks bright ahead, and we've talked about some of those young men already finishing up their sophomore years, is rewriting the record books at Grants Pass High already.
Yeah.
So that means the junior class coming in next year is pretty good. How about the senior class coming in next year?
Yeah. I think that we have some really big contributors. I think the numbers aren't going to be as big as our senior class this year, but this was kind of an anomaly with, you know, having 23 seniors. But I think we'll still have 10 or 15 solid seniors, returning starters. Nate Bassett, like you just mentioned, was an all-conference player. Kingston Connolly, all-conference player. And Ty Dungy played linebacker for us. There's Weston Burke, who I mentioned, is a really good running back and a really good defensive back. And so there's, just to name a few of those guys, there'll be a lot of returners and very capable athletes. And so, yeah, I think they'll be pretty solid. I mean, they've already been key contributors for us, some even as sophomores.
All right. And the sophomore coming up class that's coming up as juniors.
Yeah.
A lot of skilled players in there that got lots of snaps this year.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of skill positions. I think there's going to be some more linemen that will work out. You know, Deshaun Stinson got some valuable reps as a center, and he really proved himself to be consistent, reliable. He played the last two games a lot of minutes and did a really good job. Clayton Evans is one that I'm excited about if he commits to his development, especially this offseason. I mean, he's just got the body and the athleticism. I mean, you look at, he's well over 6 foot, well over 300 pounds, but athletic and strong and good shape. He could be a really good lineman for us. Jet Stewart, who's played skill positions, he's going to be a senior, but he's been a really good asset for us, and I think he could be a really good offensive lineman. Elijah Hernandez played two ways lineman for us all season as a sophomore, so I'm excited about those guys. So I think the future is bright for our line, but you're definitely right about our skill positions. We got some pretty cool weapons for sure.
All right, no doubt. We'll talk about more of those upcoming youngsters that are going to provide a lot of exciting minutes for Caveman football, and we'll talk about them when we come back right after this 2-minute Caveman timeout.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change is still the one you can trust when it comes to all your vehicle maintenance. They provide oil change services as well as other services like serpentine belt replacement, transmission, and radiator service. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your one stop for friendly, certified technicians and convenient drive-through service with no appointment necessary. They are still in that great and convenient location right next to Sea Casa Flores, the corner of the Parkway and F Street. Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Tired of driving down that rough and bumpy driveway?
Let Moser Paving smooth out your driveway with grading, gravel, and some smooth and beautiful paving. Moser has been paving the way since 1965, so call the company that does it all. Utilities, demolition, leveling, rock deliveries, and of course, paving. Call the pros at Moser Paving, 479-2424, and don't forget to call Moser for your next rock delivery. That's 479-2424. Remember, 479-2424.
Looking for a local, trusted security company? Rogue Valley Security specializes in security camera installation, 24/7 alarm monitoring, Starlink installation, internet extensions, access door systems, low voltage cabling, and more. Protect your home or business with the best in the industry. Call today and talk to a real person who understands your needs. 541-660-3242 or stop by 214 Southeast 8th Street in Grants Pass. Free estimates and a variety of options to suit you. Rogue Valley Security, your safety is their priority.
When you support local businesses, you help support local teams. Your friends at Farmers Building, Feed, and Garden Supply, your local do-it-best store in Grants Pass, are proud to support the Grants Pass Cavemen and Lady Cavers. You'll find us proudly sitting on the 50-yard line cheering for our football team, as well as our color guard and marching band. We at Farmers are proud to support our Grants Pass teams this year and can't wait to cheer them on with you. We'll see you at the game. Go Cavemen!
Welcome back, everyone. How are you? All right, you caught us sampling some of that triple-topping pizza. Yeah. Three toppings, Canadian bacon, pepperoni, ground beef. Oh, and it's good. Piled right to the edges. That's Abby's Pizza. You're listening to the Caveman Corner here. Special guest tonight, head coach Brad Page for the Grants Pass Cavemen. Coach, we've been talking about the future looks right ahead and some of those, we've talked about some of those players. Now, tell me about the JV team. Both the JV and the freshman team had great records this year. Definitely. So there's more talent coming up there that we haven't even tapped into yet.
Yeah, no, that's true. Pretty cool. I mean, especially to start the season, they were, I think the JV was, and the freshmen were both undefeated for quite a while, and they were both scoring 40, 50 points a game. I thought our JV was going to average 50-plus the whole game for the first few games, and I thought they might stick it out the whole season. The freshmen did a great job of both sides of the ball. Both teams did. And so, yeah, we started to see a little bit more depth where we weren't having to pull everyone from our JV, but that's the way it goes with varsity and JV. Is if you're good enough to play varsity, you're going to get pulled up. And but sometimes there's just lack of depth. There's definitely capable guys. Cameron Holland played a lot of quarterback for our JV, and I mean he's capable to play at the varsity level at a number of positions. And we saw him get some good minutes in some different games. And so biggest thing is we want guys to play. And so yeah, you might be good enough to play varsity, but is there someone ahead of you? Do we have too much depth? You know, we want to get you on the field and develop. And so I thought, both of those groups did a really good job, and the coaches did a really good job. They travel a lot. You know, our JV especially, our JV coaches are part of our varsity staff. And so one way or another, they're traveling every single week the way our schedule works out.
All right. How important is that JV development to come into the varsity squad?
I think it's really important. I think that what I really saw this year was our JV coaches do a good job of making our terminology, our scheme, our focus seamless between that and the varsity. And obviously there's less things that the JV can do schematically, but they followed everything, you know, the way we did it. And it really helped when we needed to plug and play guys, they were ready to go. And so it's huge. It's huge for us to have reliable coaches, both of our JV coaches, Ethan Straw and Luke Herzog. They're married. Coach Herzog has a young kid, and so it takes a lot of sacrifice for them. But they do it. You know, they love football. They love being a part of it. But we're grateful to their wives for giving them to us for that time.
Interesting how it always comes back to thank you, wife, for letting me do this crazy life.
It's true.
All right, no question about that. Now, when you look at that JV squad, are there individuals, and you mentioned Cameron Holland, who's played both varsity and JV this year. Are there other players down there that's just rubbing your hands together saying, oh, boy, I can't wait to get him up here?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about Clayton Evans just from his body, you know, and athleticism. I'm excited for what he can do if he commits on the line. I thought, you know, one that was a good leader this year was Reed Rhodes, who's he's been a junior, but I think he's going to be able to play some significant minutes for varsity next year as a receiver or DB. We're getting to that point where we have a lot of depth where some guys might just play one way, and it's a good spot to be in. But we also want to get our best guys on the field on varsity. But there's plenty to go around and mention. I'm excited about some of those skill positions. I think Cameron Bowen is a big body, one that we could use as a receiver or tight end even. Andrew Jensen's one who's been kind of banged up this year, but he could be one he's pretty physical and does a good job, could play, a number of positions. The two guys that I think of just from a commitment standpoint is Ryan Sedevi and Logan Eldred, who just gave us everything that we would, have them. Hey, we got a running quarterback. All right, Sedevi's going to be playing quarterback all week. And he would just get, have to go against the varsity the whole time. Logan Eldred the whole season was playing our scout team, one of our scout team running backs, and so you just imagine having guys like Connor Johnston hitting you every single play. It's not a fun place, and so they've sacrificed a lot, but they've become really good, effective players because of their work ethic.
I was trying to take notes of all the names you were throwing at me there, getting ready for next year. So we're talking about the JV, but let's go. Your freshman team was extraordinary also.
Yeah.
Tell me about that freshman squad.
Yeah, they are. I thought that Titan Davis is, one who's probably, ready to play varsity just with his body and strength.
He's the running back I kept hearing about.
He's the lineman. I was just about to talk about James, the running back.
Oh,
but yeah,
okay.
Titan's the lineman. But yeah, James is... I think his cousin, ironically, and James is an incredible talent. And whether he plays running back or receiver or what for us, we're really excited. I mean, we have a pretty good running back. We could definitely use him as receiver, but we'll see. But yeah, he's got to be one of the fastest kids in the state. And just watching him play, I was always like rushing from work. I'm like, man, I got to hurry up and get there because every time if I show up 10 minutes late to the freshman game, they're already scored 14 points. And so James had already scored two touchdowns. And so that was always funny to see. But yeah, and there's quite a few more, and I'm excited to get to know them a little bit better. But it's cool seeing those kids come from South and North Middle School and maybe some other places too, but just to kind of form a really good team, and they had some good middle school years and they formed a really good team this year.
All right, so we've gone through the varsity and the JV and the freshman team. I don't think we need to go back to North or South, but you've got your same scheme in at that level too as a head coach. Mm-hmm. do you not? So
yeah,
they're used to the same vernacular as they come up.
Right. Yeah, that's been big for what we're trying to do. I mean, I saw that when I coached in Arizona. The some of the best programs were the ones that they had their reach all the way down to, the youth levels and elementary school, and they're running the same stuff, and these kids just do it for years. And you don't have to do the same thing. Obviously, we evolve and change based on our personnel or the way the game changes, but using, like you said, the same phrases, the same terminology, the same, belief system, I think is really important. I'm excited for us to get, further into the middle schools and further into the youth program to kind of help do that, because I think it just... if you can get ahead with some of that stuff, it just speeds up your growth and development, and it just makes you more effective as they get older.
All right, can you go any lower than the middle school programs here? Can you really get into the youth flag football things?
Yeah, no, yeah, you can. I want to. I saw a few programs do it really well where I've been around the country, and you definitely can. And like I said, it's coaches. We don't want to take away their creativity or be able, handcuff them to what they're doing. But it's like, hey, you want to run something? Well, can you just call it this, mm-hmm. or can we, we can call it this. We have some sort of name for whatever you're trying to do. And then the way we teach fundamentals. And I think the way that we practice is pretty impressive. I mean, teams, for us to play as fast as we do and to get the reps we do and, maximizing our talent, I feel like we do a really good job of that. So if we can help some of the younger teams practice that way, maybe a little bit more effectively, using their time a little more efficiently. A lot of that's just preparation and everything and planning ahead, but that I think will help them a lot too.
Now, you just alluded to it, your scheme there, and we've seen a little bit different scheme this year.
Yeah.
Than we have before. Do you adapt your scheme to the players coming in, mm-hmm. or do you train them to work with your scheme?
No, I think we gotta we have to adapt to and play to our strengths. You can't be, just fluid and wishy-washy and change it up every year, because that doesn't help the players, if they're learning a new scheme every single year. We've kind of seen that with our defense. They've had to learn different schemes the past few years, and that's just honestly just part of turnover with our staff and the different players we had. Losing a guy like Parker Jarvis a couple years ago, who's a tremendous defensive lineman, you don't have him there, so maybe running the same defense doesn't make as much sense. And so there's a lot of reason why we did that, but yeah, no, I think we have our stuff, we have our system, but we want to adapt it to what's best for our guys.
All right, we're talking to head coach Brad Page of Grants Mass Cabin, who had just concluded their football season, ended up with a winning record this year, an exciting record. We're going to continue this conversation, but we want you to stay tuned. We've got news coming up here momentarily from the Salem Radio Network, and we'll be back right after the news. In the meantime, though, I want to remind you that you're listening to the Caveman Corner here on KAJO Grants Pass, Oregon, the Caveman Corner live from the Beacon Drive, Abby's Pizza. Welcome back to the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Caveman Corner here. Final one of the year. And, well, once again, that's a sad note, but at the same time, we're really celebrating a great football season, an exciting football season with the Grants Pass Caveman here with head coach Brad Page and enjoying some pizza while we talk about it. $26.99 for that big triple topper, and it's a big one, folks. So come on down and enjoy it, or give them a call and they'll deliver it to you. Coach, you started this year taking your seniors down to, I think it was Mount Shasta, and I'm not sure how all that came about. Is that going to be the same plan this year, or do you have something new planned out, or is it too early to tell yet?
No, I've thought about it. I thought about it a lot back when we planned the other one, trying to find a place that could accommodate 23 kids and several coaches was not easy, and so that's how we ended up there. We looked at, you know, the Oregon coast or anywhere closer, but ended up being a pretty cool experience. But depending on numbers, you know, we might look to try to book it ahead and see if we can go to the coast or something different, shake it up, maybe try to do something different every year, but just somewhere where we can get away for a couple days and have some fun and then still like set some goals and some personal goals and team goals. And I think it was pretty cool for us to be able to build that camaraderie.
All right, that's really a bonding situation, and that's where that culture really began to meld together, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. So is that the overriding plan? Do you have a plan when you get there, a list of activities that you're going to do, mm-hmm. and is there free time? How do you structure all that?
Yeah, so we wanted to be organized but also give them time to just kind of be kids, and so and we also had to be kind of structured because we had a bus driver and all that, and so... But yeah, no, it was kind of a mix. Like, so for example, when we went down there, we stopped for lunch, then we went to the water park, and so it was just the first day was just kind of, hey, let's have fun. And then that night we kind of had some, you know, when we got to the house, we kind of got all together and just kind of talked about the week and, hey, these are some things we want to think about. Tomorrow night we want to talk about your goals, think about your personal goals, what we want to accomplish as team goals, and kind of talk about, you know, different ways to, you know, get your mind right and have success. I think kids these days struggle a lot with mental health and for whatever reason, I think that a lot of that has to do just with, you know, the instant gratification of social media and technology. And whereas when I was a kid or others were kids, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have all that stuff readily available. If you took the bus, you were staring out the window and looking at raindrops, you know, you were in the moment, whereas kids are not. And so trying to combat some of that stuff is pretty important for me, because I think a lot of them, you know, we don't want them to be head cases. We want them to be able to work through that stuff, not just for football, but for their lives. And so, so we did that. And then the next day we went to the lake, and then later that day we talked a lot about, we went through our whole schedule. We went through the whole season. We talked about, hey, what did you like from last year or years past? What didn't you like? Let's be honest. Let's be open about it. And we had a really cool discussion. We talked for a couple hours, it seemed like, and everyone said something and everyone, you know, shared some pieces. And it got to the point where they were just spouting off ideas and we're trying to keep track of them all. But that was a big one. And then most of the time they were just happy being at the house that we were at and just hanging out with each other and doing different things and just having fun and relaxing. And so it was a good trip. It was there just like you said, for us to bond, and then we wanted to have some fun and build some team or make some goals too.
It creates two questions for me. And the first one here, I'm not interested in any specific names or instances, but when you talk about mental health and the youngsters mm-hmm. being concerned about that and being involved in the moment, and that's something that I really had never considered. But as mm-hmm. a coach with that kind of people around you, I would see that is a situation that you want to deal with. And are you trained to recognize that? How do you deal with something like that? Do you, as coaches, get together and discuss those sorts of things?
No, it's a good question. I think it's probably like parenting, you know, as far as each, or just like how teachers have to do it, you know. or just working with people in general, you know, what motivates someone doesn't, you know, motivate the other person necessarily. And so you can't just have a cookie cutter approach to every single thing. And, you know, and I'll be honest, I have better relationships than I do with other players, but that's just sometimes we spend more time together. Sometimes, you know, it's just personalities or whatever it is. And it's not that, you know, I don't like them less or anything like that. It's just, you know, how it goes with the 140 kids in a program. And so that's why we have other coaches who are there to have that. And, but you love all of them, you know, I think if you love them, you can feel, they feel that and you can feel that. And so, but yeah, no, I think it's, I wish I could spend more time on it, because there's a couple players who I thought, like, and I don't, you know, I'll just say this, Isaac Johnson this year, him and I built our relationship so much in the off season, and I was working at the high school at the time, and he would come in and talk to me almost every single day, and we really just bonded and really grew a lot of trust to the point where I knew kind of what made him tick and what didn't work with him. And there'll be times where, you know, he might make a mistake and other, you know, players or people want to get on him, and I knew how to approach it, and I would just cut out the noise. I knew exactly what he needed to hear, and he knew that he could trust me, and it was coming from a place of love, and I knew that I could trust him to do whatever it needed. And so that kind of bond is rare. You know, you usually have it as an offensive, you know, play caller with your quarterback, and I've definitely felt that with Jordan and quarterbacks in the past, but it was cool to have that in a different position, someone who's not even my position group, but someone who I knew, you know, you could have that and what he needed. And so I think it's just, yeah, we look at kids and be like, what's up with him, like, today, what's going on? There might be something, you know, at home going on or something, you know, whatever. And so we always talk about the football program being another family, or sometimes it's their only family. Some people's home lives is really sad, and so football, to be able to be a place where they can have some security, they can have some structure, they can have some sense of leadership, you know, and is pretty important. And so, yeah, it's, I wish we could spend more time with these kids. I think if it was a college program, we could really get into the psychology of everything. Unfortunately, we just don't have the time or access to do that, but it's been pretty productive as we've gone.
All right, Coach, thank you for sharing that. That's almost left. Well, at any rate, let's just jump right ahead here. Also on that trip, you mentioned goal setting. As team goals were set, did that come from coaching leadership, or did it come from how much was coaching leadership and how much was coming from your seniors?
Yeah, I wanted, you know, I think that, you know, we created the platform for them to talk openly, and I think that that's where a lot of this started, was in the off season. Said, hey, like, look, we're willing to listen. If you have issues or problems or things you want done differently, let's talk about it. And it's not to give the players all the control over, it's to have them feel like they can be heard, they have a voice. And we always talk about, hey, we want our players to lead, we want a player-led team, because any coach that I've heard that's had, they've said the single thing that's been the difference to them having elite years and mediocre years is the player leadership. And so that's something we've really preached the past couple of years. And so I think our guys really bought into that. But it came from a place of, hey, you need to have a little bit of skin in the game, you know. And I think when they felt that they did and they had a voice, it changed a lot. And so some guys, you know, they might say, oh, I want to get 3 sacks a game. We're like, okay, well, that might not be realistic. Let's, you know, what's realistic? What can we do? And so you kind of, you know, tweak it there. And in the end, we kind of come up with, okay, well, we want to win our conference. You know, that's something that we can control. We can't control how we get ranked. We can't control who we face in the playoffs, but we can control who we, you know, play in the season. And that's something that's, you know, in our power. And, you know, for a while there, you know, we were up there, and we could have beat Sprague, you know, we could have lost to South Salem, you know, that's why you play the game. But yeah, we were pretty close to being the number 2 team in the conference, and, you know, we ended up tying for 3rd, or however you want to cut it. But, you know, it was a goal, and I think a lot of these players achieved their individual goals, which was pretty cool to see too.
No doubt. It was certainly a fun season. I think one of our favorite words was explosive offense throughout. Yeah. And there was a time there where you were clipping a long, averaging almost 50 points a game. Yeah. as a varsity. In fact, I was running out of score sheet, as a matter of fact here. Got to talk to you about that. But in the meantime, you'll have a little break right now, and I know you're a family man. Your family's sitting right behind you here.
Right.
But at any rate, now you'll have some time to devote to the family, and I know that that's very important to you. But at the same time, I know that you're not done coaching right now, and very, very shortly you'll be right back into it. Outline your schedule between now and kickoff next year.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because we, all of us coaches, love football so much, and you still have, you know, you have this, I guess, this creative outlet for one thing, and you have this something that you're really passionate about, and it, when it comes to like a halt, you're almost kind of like, oh my gosh, you have to like decompress, and that makes it kind of tricky at times. But I try to tell our assistant coaches, I'm like, just take the holidays and enjoy not doing football as much as you can, because we'll have plenty of time to do other stuff, and it's become such a grind year round, and for good reason. We have, I think we've struck a pretty good balance. We're getting more purpose driven, but the way it works, you know, like the Oregon rules, you know, they want to encourage players to play other sports and not just be focused on one sport. So there's certain rules where there's dead periods where we can't do anything, and then there's open periods where we can have them for a few hours a week. And really, we don't want to take away from the other sports, but we do want to help them continue to develop. January, February, we'll do some stuff. We really want to focus on our weight program and lifting, our strength and conditioning. And last year, our theme was getting bigger, faster, stronger, smarter. And I thought we did a good job of that. But I think we could really take it to another level as far as our strength training goes. And that's something that all of us coaches agree on. But it takes time. It takes, you know, a lot of energy. And then the springtime comes, we usually start getting into more scheme and stuff and getting ready for camp as we get into May. And then in June, we have, you know, our big camp wherever we go. We might go to George Fox or wherever we go where we can compete in full pads against other teams. And that's kind of like a preview to the rest of the season. So we want to maximize that time. And then we take another break. And then, you know, July is a lot of passing league, 7-on-7 stuff, and a lot of lifting. And then August, it starts to pick up again. So there's not a whole lot of breaks, but it's definitely not as much of a grind as the season. But we do want to get bigger, faster, stronger, and smarter again this offseason.
All right. Sounds like an ongoing mantra there. Bigger, faster, stronger, smarter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Coach, it looks like that program is working, and we're expecting even more wins next year.
I hope
Don't worry about the pressure.
That's all right.
I want to take a moment here and just talk about some other things. It's normally on this very last one we invite other people, and we have, but there's another situation here. We invite the basketball coach, Joel Jesse. I've talked to Coach Jesse a couple of times. He really wanted to be here tonight and explain to you what's coming up with his program, but he's got practice tonight, and this is the first practice where your football players who have been decompressing from football season get onto the basketball court,
right.
And they need to get out there because they're making their first cuts this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
So we understand where that's going. And the athletic director was invited. Mr. Roundsville said he had other athletic events to attend to tonight. So we certainly tip our hats to them.
Yep.
I do want to make a little mention about the basketball schedule. We're still evaluating the basketball schedule because there is only one home basketball game in the month of December. So we've got to balance out exactly how we're going to cover that during the holidays here. And I think even they've got a trip planned down to Orange, California. So I'm still negotiating that one with the boss. He keeps saying no, and I keep putting on my suntan lotion and saying, I'll see you later. So we'll see. I just wanted to explain all that to you. In the meantime, though, Coach, I just want to say thanks for a great year. We appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Appreciate that. Thanks. Appreciate the high praise. And we have high expectations, so we're coming back next year, and we have some really big goals and some really good talent with a good group of kids coming up, so we're excited.
All right, well, we'll get you right back here to Abby's Pizza next year. How's that?
That's good.
All right.
Thank you,
and all of you, we're probably going to cut this just a little short here this evening, but we want you to stay tuned for some great entertainment. And coming up, the Coach's Show with head coach Dan Lanning from the Oregon Ducks coming up about 7:35 tonight. So you've been listening to the Caveman Corner here live from the Beacon Drive Abby's Pizza. We want to thank you very much for a great season. Enjoy some great pizza from Abby's.